check, mic check one. Mic check one. Mic check one. Okay, we're getting that. Mic check one. Mic check one. Stanley, this thing is falling through the thing. Okay, it's there. Mic check one. Mic check one. Mic check. Mic check one. Mic check one. Okay, that's how you see, how you're hearing on that end. When I raise, mic check, is that a little too loud? Is that good? Good sound? Okay. Mic check. All right, good. Thanks. Herb, you want to check your sound before we get started, please?
Mic check. Mic check. There was a woman in the Bible days. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to see. When we reach that city of the New Jerusalem, test one, two. Praising God, Redeemer there beside the crystal sea. Test one, two. Is that all right? When we reach that city of the New Jerusalem, I'm okay if you are. Okay.
Thank you.
Johnson, if you're praying, I need you to project your voice. You Check one. Check one. Check one.
like to take this opportunity to welcome all of you that have tuned in to the broadcast of the worship service of the Forest Hill Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray that you will enjoy our worship services today. I will start by reading one passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. At this time, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most holy and righteous Father, we thank you for another day that you have blessed us to see. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, dear God, that our worship service will be pleasing and acceptable unto you. We thank you for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done. We pray a special prayer, Heavenly Father, for all of the members of this body. We pray for everyone in this entire world. We ask that you put your hedge of protection around us and protect us. We realize that this virus that's going on has each of us kind of stressed out. We pray that our faith will not wane. We pray a special blessing for Brother White as he comes forward and brings the message today. We thank you for your word that he is going to present to us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your word will comfort us, reassure us, and bless us to look forward to praising your holy and righteous name. We pray that our faith will grow stronger as we hear your word today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will just continue to be with us, forgive us of our sins, and bless us as we go through this service. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Morning. Let's get up tempo and smile and praise the Lord today. When we reach that city of the New Jerusalem, we're gonna sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah by and by. And how the ransom singers will together lift that. We're gonna sing hallelujah, by and oh, sing oh, oh, what joy when we get. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that cloudless dome. We're singing of that land where the saints never die, and we will sing hallelujah, by and by. And now in that mighty chorus, voices will so sweetly, and we will sing hallelujah, come on and sing hallelujah, by and by. And gone will be our sadness, pleasures there will never end, and we will sing hallelujah, come on and sing hallelujah, by and oh, sing oh, oh, what joy when we get home. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that cloudless. Don't you know now in that land where the saints never die, and we will
sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah. By and by, and now victory and love will be our everlasting. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah. By and by, and praising our Redeemer there beside the crystal. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah. By and oh, sing oh, oh, what joy when we get home. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that cloudless dome. You know in that land, what a say, never die. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah. By and oh, sing oh, oh, oh what joy when we get home. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that cloudless dome. You know in that land where the saved never die. And we will sing hallelujah. I'm gonna sing hallelujah. By and by.
We are thankful to the God of heaven once again, who doeth all things well, for sparing our lives and blessing us with this marvelous privilege to be able to come together to worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When you're worshiping God in spirit, first of all, there has to be a focus. You must be engaged. You're not worshiping God and texting at the same time. You're not worshiping God and watching your favorite show at the same time. You're not worshiping God and visiting with your neighbor at the same time. Worship demands your personal attention. Your spirit must be engaged with the heavenly spirit. Your spirit must be engaged with what you're doing. It is not an afterthought. It is an intentional focus, and that is your worship. So you must worship God in spirit, and then Scripture says, and in truth. Truth meaning you want to worship God according to his word and his will. You want to worship God doing what you know God has instructed us to do. We thank God for the opportunity to worship him. Well, last week we talked about our worship and our ability to worship God where we are, as we are. We're thankful, and I want to say thanks to the leadership of this church, to those who work behind the scenes to make this possible, so that we can continue to commune in spirit. God is the kind of God that is able to know you where you are. He's the kind of God that doesn't have to have us all corralled together in order for us to be worshiping him. He is able to know our worship where we are. And I pray that as we go into the word this morning, that you will give attention, personal attention to who God is, that you'll pay attention to what God is doing right now in your world. We realize that we are dealing with a lot at this time in the world. This is a time unlike any time we've ever experienced before. It requires a faith unlike any faith that we've ever manifested before, because we've never been in times like these. And so during the course of the message today, I want to help us to understand What God and our faith is able to do. God with our faith is able to do some great things. God plus our faith is able to do some great things. Amen? Before we get into our message, as is our tradition, we would like to always sing an opening song. We ask that you will join in with us if you know the words. My hallelujah belongs to you. 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 And my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. 'Cause all of the glory belongs to you, and all of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you, and all of the glory belongs to you. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of James. It's a wonderful book that's written to the people of God that are going through trials at this time. It is a fitting text for us to look at as we study about our faith. For those of you who are note takers, I'd like for us to use as a subject for consideration this morning, trials. The Christian's opportunity to shine. Trials. The Christian's opportunity to shine. There are times in our lives where we are on automatic pilot. We don't give a lot of consideration to what's going to happen on our day because our day is already set. In fact, there's going to be more of what yesterday was like or more like the day before. We don't really give a lot of attention to what's going to happen this day because it seems like it's more of the same. And so our faith or trust in God sometimes is minimized because there are no new challenges. There are no new obstacles. There are no new situations for us to deal with. It is in our crises that are in our lives that we begin to fall back on our faith, relying on what we have been taught from a spiritual standpoint. But while things are business as usual, it is easy for us to be lulled into a sense of, I am okay, I have this, or I have things under control. And we have an occasional worship experience where we come together and we worship God as a tribute, a show of our spirituality, but it really doesn't necessarily reflect our dependency on Him. But in times like these, Christians and their faith are able to really, really shine. I want us to go to the text of James and look at what James is saying. James, in verse number 1, a servant of God. And James, if history is writing from the standpoint of being the brother or kin to our Lord and Savior. But now he is writing this letter from a different perspective. He says, I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. whatever way he had known Jesus before in the afterlife of his growing up, that relationship has changed forever. He now recognizes him and acknowledges him as Lord. He is Lord Jesus Christ. So James says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, scattering that took place during that time was because of persecution. Persecution was taking place in the kingdom of God because of our stance for Christianity. Men and women, children were being persecuted and they were scattered. They had left their homes, they had left their jobs, they had left their dwelling place, their families, and they were taking the message of God wherever they went, but their lives had been uprooted. James says to them, greetings, wherever you are, though your life has been uprooted, though you are in a different phase of life right now, though things are not the way they've always been, greeting. We realize that when you get this letter, James is saying, I know you're going to be under duress, but I'm writing to you greetings. He says to them in verse number 2, my brethren, you need to, though you're scattered, though your life has been uprooted, you need to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. First of all, count it all joy, count it all joy. There is a spirit that you need to demonstrate that others can see. It's not just something that is going on inside. You need to count it all joy. You need to have the spirit that even though you fall into different temptations, temptations here is not that you are being tempted towards evil. Temptation here, the word is used to describe trials that are coming on you that are beyond your control. You had nothing to do with it. You did not cause it. They are trials that are facing you that you didn't bring on yourself. Now, James is saying here, you need to count it all joy when you fall into a situation you didn't fix, you didn't make it happen, and yet you are in duress. The tribes are being scattered now, and James is saying, though you are scattered, though your life is uprooted, you need to count it all joy because you are going through a trial. Why are you saying that, James? To these people who are in distress, that they ought to be joyous in such a way that people can tell, though you are out of sync, there is something about you that's different. He says in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Now, this is what trials is all about. This is what upheavals in life is all about. This is what going through a different situation is really all about. It is the trying of your faith. How do you know that you have a strong faith without going through a trial? How do you know that you have real faith without going through a trial? When life is going the way you planned it, when things are going the way you mapped it out, when your family system is right, when your economic is right, when your job is going right, everything is going right, it takes very little faith for you to exercise or trust God because life is going the way you want it to go. But when your life changes, when your family system is not the way you planned it, when your job maybe is phasing out, you have lost income, maybe you're in distress right now because of the current situation, this is when your faith is being tried. Your faith, my faith, our faith is being tried. Never in the history of during most of our lifetimes, unless you live during the Depression and you're still here, have we experienced an event that has touched and is touching the lives of everybody at the same time. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what your educational status may be. We are being tested the same. Children of God have an opportunity now, going through the trying of our faith, to show the world what Christians do when they are under duress. How do Christians live when they're under duress? How does the church respond to a world that has been turned upside down when you're under duress? Well, James says, know this, count it joy that you have an opportunity to exercise your faith, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, my faith, our faith, has to be tried. And let me suggest to you right now, your faith is on trial. And how you are standing right now is really a reflection of your faith. How you are talking right now is really a reflection of your faith. How you are thinking right now is a reflection of your faith. And if it is not tied back to your hope, then your faith, my friends, is not strong. James says the trying of your faith does something. It works of patience. It works an ability to be able to go through something that you may not like and yet maintain a good posture, a good image, a good strength, though you're going through something that you don't like. You may not understand it, and your life may be impacted about it, but because of your faith, faith in what? Not what, but faith in who? Your faith in God enables you and I to be able to go through something we've never gone through before and yet realize that my God, your God, our God is still in control. The trying of your faith worketh patience, James says. He says now, but you got to, in verse number 4, you got to allow this patience to have her perfecting work. In other words, it is your ability to be in a good place when life is not good that begins to perfect us. What is it perfecting us? An ability to trust God when you can't see your way out. You got to be able to trust God. And children that belong to God, people that call themselves of the children of God, you and I have to be able to allow this discomfort to perfect us, that we may be perfect and entire, and that we may be wanting absolutely nothing or lacking nothing when it comes to our faith. Well, James has laid the foundation for us understanding that we will go through things in life, and this global event is allowing us as children of God to have our faith tested. And this patience, this trusting in God when you don't know how it's going to end. That's one of the problems we have in life. We like to be in complete control. We want to have complete control. We want to control the things that are going on around us. We like to feel like we have life control. We know what's going to happen next week. We know what's going to happen next month. And all of a sudden, our lives are torn to the point to where we have no control. Many of you have not been home this long in years. Praise the name of Jesus. You haven't talked or had to talk to your family like this in years. Maybe you don't even know that person that well because you're always like ships passing in the night. But now you are having to really get to know each other and get to understand each other, and you got to allow your faith to be perfected while you're in a situation that you don't really fully understand, not comfortable with, and yet you have to endure. You have to endure. Paul gives us another viewpoint of this faith, of this idea that trials gives Christians an opportunity to shine. It gives us an opportunity to let our light shine. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, he writes, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Now, first of all, you need to understand that the thing that makes us stand out before God is our faith. Faith in what? Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in what God says he's going to do, faith in God's ability to say, don't worry about life, don't worry about what you're going to eat, don't worry about what you're going to drink. If God will clothe the lilies of the field, if God will take care of the birds of the air, don't you know God's going to take care of you? Your faith, you're being justified by faith. Being made just by faith. We have peace with God. Peace with God. Interesting phrase that Paul makes. Peace with God. In other words, we know that our relationship with God is okay because of our faith through Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus and what he did in offering himself for us has made it possible for us, when I trust in Jesus, to have peace with God. My peace is tied to Jesus Christ. Because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I have peace. Therefore, my trusting or faith justifies me when I live by faith through Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse number 2, he says, "Now by whom," this Jesus, "we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." We have access into this grace where we're able to stand. By faith now, by faith. It is your faith that brings into this grace. Grace then is this pouring down of peace that falls on the children of God when you know you don't know how it's going to work. You're okay because of the grace that you're standing in. You're rooted and grounded in, and you rejoice then in the hope of the glory of God. You see, there are some things that we may never understand. We may never be able to figure out, but there's something that we can stand on. What God says, he will do. What God says to us, we can trust. We don't have to wonder whether or not God is still in control. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We know God Almighty, Jesus Christ, his Son, the Spirit of God, all three are working, and life is going the way God knew it would go. He knew it would go this way before the foundation of the world. He knew, God knew, that we would be in a situation where we would be living like this right now. And look at God, how he provided a way for us to continue to do what we need to do, being faithful to him, even though we're doing it in a different way at this time. Paul says in verse number 3, he says, "Now, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation." Now, there's the word tribulation. Tribulation. James says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation." The word tribulation, again, is a word describing something going on outside of you that can cause you trouble. He says, we glory in tribulation. We glory while we are going through things we don't understand. Why do we do that? Knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience. There it is. The ability to be able to stand firm when life goes awry. Patience. Are you exhibiting patience right now? Are you talking like a child of God with patience? I know your work has been affected, but do you have patience? I know your life is different right now, but do you have patience? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. He says, and patience, verse number 4, experience. There are some things that you cannot learn spiritually without going through something. Some of my best life lessons were lessons I learned while going through an experience that I did not like. Those lessons are the lessons of life I never forget. And so when I find myself in a similar or maybe different circumstance or experience, I'm able to reflect back on what happened in the last situation. What did God do the last time I didn't understand? What did God do the last time I couldn't figure it out? What did God do the last time it didn't make sense to me? And when I reflect on that, that experience develops this thing called hope. Hope, interesting word. This word hope is not I think it may come to pass. No, no, no. This is a word dignifying and showing a real confidence. You have real, you know. Not you are hoping it. No, no, no. You know when Paul describes in the book of Romans, he says in Romans or Hebrews, that is the Hebrew writers, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, when he writes, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Wait a minute. You are able, when you have faith, you are able to hope or believe that things are going to come to pass, and there is no evidence that you can point to right now that they are coming to pass. But you are able to act as though they are coming to pass because you have this hope. You trust God so much so that even though you don't know how it's going to work, you know it's going to work. You trust God so much so, because even though you can't see how you're going to pay this, you know it's going to work out all right. Why? Because you trust God. And God will always come through when you execute faith. Going back to Romans chapter 5, he says this patience develops experience, and this experience develops hope. Now watch this, verse 5, and hope, it maketh not ashamed. Now watch this. You will never have to be embarrassed about trusting in God. You will never, ever feel foolish about trusting in God. You don't ever have to worry about anybody saying, well, that didn't work out for you because you was trusting in God. No, your hope, make it not ashamed, because when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given us, God the Spirit gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. People may not understand why you are calm and you don't know how you're going to do what you need to do. People may not understand why you are not talking negative when people are doing what they need to. People are trying to understand how it is that you are able to maintain continuity in your life when your life has been torn upside down, because you have a hope. And this hope will not make you ashamed. You will never have to apologize. You'll never have to say, man, I was foolish about having that hope. You'll never have to do anything, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts as we go through trials and tribulations. It is the love from God that gives us a peace that, as Paul described in the book of Philippians, that surpasses all understanding. So, my friends, we're talking about our opportunity to shine. Our opportunity to shine is now. It is now our opportunity to show the world why a relationship with God is important. It is our opportunity to show family and friends, how do you handle a crisis? How do you deal with things that you don't understand? How do you deal when life deals you a hand that you didn't see coming? You trust God. Go through what you have to go through, not as someone who's being mistreated, but someone whose faith is being tested. Your faith is being tested. And it is my prayer that when all of the dust settles, when we're able to reconvene, that you can come and give testimony to the fact that though I was going through a trial, my faith did not waver. But though I was going through situations and circumstances I didn't understand, I continued to hold on, as we say, to God's unchanging and unwavering hand. My faith did not waver. Though I didn't know how I was going to pay this, I didn't understand how I was going to do that, but my faith in God and his ability to take care of me did not waver. I see God's handiwork all over the place now. There are people who don't even believe in God that are helping people for the first time. There are people who have resources and never considered doing anything for anybody but themselves, but God is moving their hearts, and they are doing unspeakable and unthinkable acts of kindness. Is that, my friends, not God? And he, God, will make sure that whatever you need, it'll come to you. Not the way you may have planned it. Not at the time you expected it. He may not come when you want him. But my friends, he's always on time. It's my prayer that the words that we've spoken about, trials, the Christian's opportunity to shine, that you and I will embrace the message, that we will stop thinking about the worst and start trusting in the one who made this world. Yes, we will get through this, but afterwards, would we have demonstrated faith in God during this? Now is the time to show the world who you belong to. There may be someone who is at this time struggling with their life, with their circumstance, with their situation. You may be struggling with what's going on in your family system at this time. You may not have held up your faith. You worship regularly, but right now your faith is being tested. I challenge you to rethink what you are doing, who you represent, and take a stand for God by trusting him in everything that you do and say. This is my prayer. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we always encourage you to become a part of God's spiritual family. How do you come to God? You come by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you have to be taught the right thing. You must believe what you hear and repent of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Once you repent, you need to be able to acknowledge him as Lord. To be able to say, I believe as the eunuch did, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you surrender to baptism for the remission of your sins. The eunuch says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And you will become a part of God's spiritual family. And children of God who needs to get their hearts right, you are royal priesthood. You are able to go to God right now and offer up a prayer to God, acknowledging your sin and asking for his forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come at this time thanking you for the opportunity to be alive at this moment. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able to demonstrate in our lives what it looks like when a child of God goes through trials. May we take that challenge with honor. May we stand fast, not wavering, trusting that you, God, will see us through no matter what happens. As Job says, though you slay me, yet I am going to trust you. Father, we ask that you have blessed the word, those that are hearing the word, those that may not know you, Father, we ask that you will give them a space of time to get things right with you before it's everlasting too late. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share the message to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope that you have found some strength and solace in the word this morning. This time, we want to give opportunity for those that would like to contribute to the ministry and those that are children of God who want to support the work. We'll give an opportunity to give at this time. We can go to our website, and which is www.fhcoc.org. You are able to give a free will offering at this time. Give because you can't beat God giving. Give because God is worthy to be served. You are not giving to me or to the building. You're giving to the work of ministry. Ministry still goes on. We're still supporting ministries. We're still supporting members who are in need. Give so that we can do the work of the ministry. Would you go to me in prayer this time for thanksgiving for the offering? Father, we thank you for what you have granted us by means of opportunity to make a living. Though our lives have been disrupted, we thank you for the way you care for us. You make provisions for us. Father, it is with joy that we offer to you our thanksgiving of praise through offering. Bless what we give. Bless those that do give. Be with those that have a desire but not the ability. Help them, Father, to keep that desire. Grant the ability so that when the next time presents itself, joyfully, they can give to you. We ask this prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now commanded to commune upon the first day of the week. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, a letter in the 11th chapter. And he says in verse number 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Those of you who want to commune at this time and are able, we ask you to take the bread and take the emblem. Before we do, let us thank God. Father, thank you for your broken body. Thank you for being willing to lay down your life for us. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to commune with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul continues, and after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the shedding of your blood which purchased the church. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to commune with you. Though we are in different locations, you know our whereabouts and you know our hearts. We do this as you commanded, in remembrance of your great sacrifice. We won't ever forget your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We've had an opportunity to commune and to give. We thank you for sharing this service with us at this time. One of our elders, Brother Edmund Henderson, will come with a song first from Herb Patterson. And we want to also thank Brother Billy Young, one of our elders, for opening up our service. We invite you to visit us again at the same time as we will bring your word from the Lord at this time. Brother Patterson.
I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Don't you know that I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me? You know that I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. We're singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus lifted me one more time now. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. My Lord, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. We're singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
Amen, amen, and amen. We have had an awesome service today, and we are so glad that you were able to tune in with us. Our minister this morning presented us with a lesson, Trials, the Christian's Opportunity to Shine. Amen. And I don't know about you, but as the psalmist writer in Psalms 23, verses 5 and 6 said, my cup runneth over. And based on what I have experienced this morning, my cup is truly running over. And surely, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you all. Pray with me, please, as we close out our service. O Lord, our Lord, How wonderful your name is in all of the earth. God, we come to you this morning beseeching you to allow your healing power to be dispatched in this country, in the state of New York, in the state of Louisiana, in the state of Illinois, in the state of Texas, and in the state of California, where this coronavirus is working, having havoc on the people that resides in those states. And God, we pray that you also consider all the countries that are being devastated by this terrible virus. God, we love you and we thank you. Your people, God, are suffering. But we thank you for allowing us this morning to receive a message that will allow us to understand that we have a great responsibility to allow our faith to shine, so that people will be able to see a God like you working in our lives. We love you, God, and we thank you. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.